Although the learning today should be a schus ilan nishma satir chavak I'm a lot of mention shanari as well as a schus for an ilan nishma for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef ben Chaim Menachem ben Zion and should be a schus for an ilu for Rafua Shleima for Chaim Doiv ben Rachel Chanali b'Shein de Rachel and Abadati ben Peril as well as a schus for all those in the makam sakana and all those risking their lives to protect it. So we are continuing. We'll finish the topic of Hakar today. Hitting. We're talking about people failing in their relationship with their parents. So he says like this. He says, "Lepi adaris halalu." He says, "In recognition of the fact that people who properly listen to their parents are few, especially when you marry a woman. So the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law are at each other's throats. So that, and you have to side with your wife." So it ends up creating a friction between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. So it's hard to find where children act properly towards their parents. He says, ideally, what should happen is the parents should not be around all the time. The parents should not have their children at their table all the time and basically make themselves scarce. That the children should not eat at the parents' table. In other words, what you want to do is, what do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fond or something like that. Essentially, what you're saying is that if you're not around every day, so then when you do have an opportunity, you recognize it as an opportunity and not a burden. So if you're going to be with your parents all the time, you're not going to properly do kibbutz of aim because you're going to look at it as more of a burden. But when you're going to see them more rarely and less frequently, so now all of a sudden, those are going to seem like opportunities. I have an opportunity to do kibbutz of aim, and you're going to jump on it. Ki ahed der toiv mi metzias hara. He says, absence is better than doing the wrong thing. In other words, better that you're not around all the time to your parents, even though you're missing out on Kibbutz Aim, but that's better than not doing Kibbutz Aim. Who can assure that the desire of children will be to honor their parents, for they'll receive great reward in this world, as well as, I'm sorry, in the next world, as well as in this world. If you honor your parents, you're going to be rewarded mida knegamida, that you're going to be honored by your children, and then you'll obviously have the main reward for the next world. So that's aspect number one, is the lack of kibbutz of aim, which we talked about. Now the isra ka eno rak livnoi, he says the prohibition of hitting someone else not only regards a child, elagam l'shaar kol adam, it applies to other people as well. Lav delay Yosef pen Yosef. There's a isser that you're not allowed to add on extra malchus when you're giving malchus to someone. Now this is a person who did an avera, and he got hasra, and he said alpha pikein, I'm doing the avera anyway, so he's not a good person, or he didn't do a good act. Nevertheless, you have to be very careful not to give him extra malchus. And Chazal say that when you hit someone on the face, when you slap someone across the cheek, it's like you're slapping the Shechina, because we all have the appearance of God. We're all made in God's image. And so when you slap a person, you're slapping the Shechina. Perish Rashi, amakel alechi. If you slap someone on the cheek, and it applies anywhere you hit someone, but the Torah talks about what normally occurs. So really, if you hit anyone anywhere, even on their arm, even on their back, you're still over this lav. And he says, the pasuk says, a raised arm will be broken, and someone who raises his arm is going to be buried in the earth. Rav Huna went so far to penalize someone who raised his hand to hit someone else by cutting off the hand. He says it's behooves anyone who runs a city, meaning people who are city officials, to punish people who raise their hands to harm others. And here he gets into Beprat la Noshim b'nei Belial, especially cruelest people, Shemakimes Nishoiseya Machach Sachzari, that they hit their wives with cruelty. Tipach Rucham shall Oisei Eila Shemakzikimes b'nei Shal Keshvachis. He says, the neshamas of those people should rot those wicked people who treat the daughters of Klal Yisrael like slave women, v'darsim, they abuse them, umakim, they beat them, ubayalim, and they violate them, ve'elam b'yishas panim, and they have no shame. They mistreat their wives. Anyone who has the ability to punish them should do so. This is a terrible avla. Now it's interesting. He doesn't say that it's wrong for hitting the wives. He says he hits them with makas achzari, only with the cruelty. But if it sounds like if they're deserving, then that would be okay. He says isha. And but he says if someone is taka abusing a wife, then if you have the ability to rescue the woman, you should do it. If that's what the woman wants. A woman cannot be expected to live with the snake in the same house. This man is considered a snake. Mitzvah Rabbah Avdei Lahatzel Ashak Miyad Ashkai. It's a great mitzvah to rescue someone who's being oppressed. Even to hit small children. People do not have permission. Ela Av, except for the father, Labanim, his young children. The Rav and a Rebbe with Hamidim for his students who parnas ala ketanim, and someone who is an authority figure, authoritative figure over the people that he's in charge of. Afilo a Rav with Hamidim, even a Rebbe hitting a Talmud, kasa b'tshuvas halachas ketanis. It's written in halachas ketanis and that really you shouldn't just go and hit children. You should really measure it out and get permission from Beis Din before you do it. Ela shelo nagu, practically speaking, obviously, before you hit a child, you can't go and assemble a Beis Din every time. But really, that's the appropriate measure. And that should tell you that you shouldn't run to hit children. The Isa B'Sha'as is brought down in the Gemara. She'amar lo Rav l'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a Rebbe over young children, Ki machis li'inuka, when you hit a child, to discipline him, le'timche ela ba'arkasa de'misana de'tzayis tzayis. Only hit him with a shoelace. And if that works, then that works. Sefer Chassidim also writes that there's no permission except for a Rebbe disciplining his students. If someone taka hits a young child, so let's say you're in shul and you see a child misbehaving and you're not the parent and you're not the child's Rebbe, you have no right to hit the child. And if you did and the child took you to Beis Din, you would get a knas for such a thing. I remember the story of a certain person, Yarei Hashem, who was an authoritative figure over children. That when he died, he ordered that they call out in shul, that he asked for forgiveness from all the children. If he possibly hit them inappropriately. Certainly, even for your young children, your own children, the Talmidim and your own Talmidim, that you can't just randomly hit children, that's certainly not permitted. To just, if a child doesn't do something warranting that type of punishment, even if they did something wrong, but if it's not warranted, you have no hetzer to hit them. Even when there's a need to hit them, you can't hit them too hard. Makas achzari, a cruel ala roish on the head, or ala ayin on the eye, meaning hit them in a place, makam sheyuchal lasos mum upikuach nefesh chas v'shalom, a place where it's going to leave a lasting harm, or put, obviously put them in a sakana. Ela yakim benachas al raglayim belikas, you should hit them gently on the legs, not out of anger, which is a very critical point, that never should punishment and should Hasra be given out of anger. It should always be given when you're in a proper frame of mind. This is the essential principle. Great is the man who, when he conducts his affairs, does it with Mishkal, with Midah, b'mishura, zayi d'chishara. This is the proper path.